More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, how can I help? We're going to help you make sure that the help you're giving others is actually, well, helpful. 877-573-7825. Give us a call.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And have you ever had one of those times when you tried to help somebody, you know, you saw that they were having a rough time, they were struggling, and you wanted to kind of be there for them, support them, encourage them, you know, do what you could, and just did not go the way you expected? Maybe you got some pushback, maybe they got mad at you, maybe it actually made things worse.
Maybe it did nothing and you're just so frustrated you could scream.
Well, if you're struggling to know how to support or help someone you care about, let us help you make sure that the help you're trying to give others is actually, well, helpful. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Well, and I will say this, perhaps somebody's trying to help you with that helpful advice.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
trying to give you their guidance, and you're not taking it as helpful because it's condescending or it's rude or
it makes you feel like a project.
It makes you feel like a project, or it's just painful that they don't get where you're at. So help can be so well-intentioned, but it can go so wrong. So let us help you actually be helpful today, or deal with those people who are trying to be helpful so that they can be. You can explain to them how they could be helpful instead of just being hurt and angry and frustrated in the situation. Let's get that all together today and really help you on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
I'm actually, you know, while you were talking, I was sitting here trying to figure out which is more frustrating, you know, trying to help somebody and having it blow up in your face, or being helped by somebody in ways that aren't helpful. Neither one. I'll take C, none of the above.
Yeah, we've heard circle of life. No, circle of help can be very difficult. It can be very frustrating. And I agree with you, none of the above. Like, we do. We need to help one another. We do. We cannot do this life very well on our own. But anything that's going to lead us to be closer to one another, to live in greater communion with one another, is something that the enemy is going to come along and stir the waters of and frustrate so that we aren't as close as God wants us to be.
Well, you know, and by the way, you know, we talk as Christians about how, you know, we're broken and we need to be saved. And sometimes that gets people's back up. You know, who are you to say I'm broken? This is kind of what we mean, though, right? We all have love in our hearts. We all want to be helpful to others. We want to take care of others. We want to do
the good
things.
We know it's a loving thing.
Yeah, yeah. Right? But we don't know actually how to be loving in ways that are actually loving, right? We kind of suck at it, and right, all of us do. And so that's what the Lord came to do, to show us how to love the way God wants us to love in ways that would actually be loving, how to help each other in ways that are actually helpful. And so, you know, the first thing that we need to do, either when we are trying to give help or when we need help is to go to God and say, you know, Lord, help me know how to respond to this in the way that would actually work according to your will. Because all the desires that I have to be helpful, to be loving, to be helped and loved, I don't necessarily know how to express those things in ways that get me to where I need to go. And if you're struggling to be helpful, or if you're struggling with the help that people are trying to give you, and, you know, you don't want to get mad about it, but you can't help but feel a little resentful and you're not sure what to do, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Well, and you never know what's going to upset somebody, right? And you, and because we...
I can't believe you just said that. How dare
because
you?
Because we live in, like, this ever-changing life with other people, you just don't know if something that is a pattern suddenly changes up. I will be totally honest. I have been experiencing this for about a week and a half with our 17-year-old daughter. Where prior to the last week and a half, if I noticed something, like something had to be put away, or I knew something was going to come up in her day, but that she was, you know, really, really snowed under that day, and I would remind her, it always went down well. It was like, oh, okay, yeah, I got that. About a week and a half, as she's ramping up to a lot of stuff going on in her life in the next week or so, if I say, you know, oh, don't forget this thing, oh my goodness, it's, I knew about that, you don't have to tell me. It isn't awful, but it's just enough that I know I'm no longer being helpful, and I'm causing myself stress, so I'm going to keep my mouth shut and make sure she just does it on her own, and then if she doesn't, then I'll address it, but I'm not going to be right on top of it. But I'm saying, you never know. Like, you could have a perfectly, everything's going great, and then something's going on in that person's life, and we do the slightest thing, and suddenly it's not taken as helpful anymore, and you're like, how did this damage our relationship? So putting the relationships back together, knowing what to say and how and when to say it, helping you truly be helpful. That's what we're here to help you with today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And for folks who aren't aware of what that is, the Theology of the Body is a series of reflections by St. John Paul that provide a lens enabling us to see how, really, all of salvation history reveals God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships.
Now, on the one hand, the Theology of the Body reminds us that it is good for us to be generous, to be loving, to self-donatively work for the ultimate good of others. On the other hand, we need to love responsibly, making sure that our efforts to work for another person's good actually produce good fruit. Sometimes we tell ourselves we're being helpful, even when the things we're doing are making things worse, or people respond as if we're being intrusive. In those times, it's important to not just keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result. It's also important to not just give up, pat ourselves on the back, and say, well, I tried. Which is really tempting.
Yeah, so, you know, what's the alternative? Well, when our efforts to help don't seem to be particularly helpful, we need to step back, pray, and be receptive to the ways that God might like us to be loving instead of just doing what comes naturally. You know, we need to remember that the point in being helpful isn't just making ourselves feel, well, at least I've done something, right? We need to make sure that the help we provide is really producing some kind of positive change. And if not, then we need to be open to what God might want us to do instead, whether that's changing up our approach, asking what the person actually does need, or maybe just backing off sometime, giving the person some space. When we're struggling to know how to help another person, a good prayer is, Lord, teach me how to respond to this person in a way that will help me bring out the best in them. And then allow the Holy Spirit to bring about the changes in our life, in our approach, or anything else that needs to be changed in order for us to be truly helpful. Well, that all sounds great on paper, but how does it actually work in your life? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. If you are trying to help someone you care about, but it's making things worse, blowing up in your face, or for that matter, not making any difference at all, and you're frustrated, we want to hear about it. If you are on the receiving end of help that is somehow less than helpful, and you're not sure how to respond so that you can either get the help that you really need or get that person to back off, let's talk it out too. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. And then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And
Pope St. John, excuse me. Lord Jesus Christ, we come into this your presence, and we thank you for this opportunity to bring to you all the situations where we're trying to be helpful, but it's not going as well as we would like. Lord, we have love in our hearts, and we have the desire to be generous and helpful to others. But because we're broken, and because we're sinful, we don't know how to be loving in ways that are actually loving or helpful in ways that are actually perceived as helpful. And so we bring those people and situations to you, and we ask you, Lord, to teach us how to respond in ways that will invite others to be their best selves, enable us to be our best selves, and truly be helpful in ways that make a positive difference in the lives of others. Show us how to use our gifts and when to use our gifts so that we can build each other up and build your kingdom in all the things that we do. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
Today on More to Life, how can I help? We're talking about those times when our efforts to help others are somehow not working the way we thought they would, or those times when others are, you know, trying to help us in ways that feel less than helpful. If you're on either end of that coin, give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with our first caller, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida.
Hi there, listener in Florida. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on with your daughter?
Well, my daughter is 37. She has been diagnosed for like 18 years with fibromyalgia. She also has PMDD and narcolepsy.
Okay.
So she takes medicine to stay awake. She takes Ambien to sleep, which makes her sleepwalk, and she's fallen in the tub and slept in the closet and crazy things like that, walking in her sleep, etc. She has been treated poorly by doctors and pharmacists and people who think she's drug-seeking, that there's no such thing as fibromyalgia. Her husband has not been very helpful, hasn't even read any material, and she's felt like she's all alone in this. They were military and traveling around the world, so I couldn't help them.
Okay.
But recently, she had a situation where she thought she saw some things in some videos that weren't there. And we all looked at the videos, and we were telling her there's nothing there, and she was hearing things, and she could see details that weren't in the pictures. Anyway, she was acting very angry with the PMDD. She just had a hysterectomy, but she still has her ovaries. So she had left home. No one knew where she was. We were very worried, and I encouraged her husband to call the pharmacy, find out who her doctor was, call the doctor and say, I think she's having some kind of psychotic episode. Well,
just in the interest of time, I apologize for rushing you, but we're going to have to go to a break here in just a couple of minutes. So what can we do about the situation? How can we help
you? So what I was going to say is it's all backfired, and she's very angry at us for butting in her business, and the pharmacy wouldn't fill her medications, and she's never going to be able to get out of pain now, and the doctors aren't going to listen to her. Anyway, I don't know if we really screwed up or if we really should have made that phone call if her husband.
Well, so I'm confused. So you called her husband, right? You weren't the one calling her doctor and all.
Right. I'm the one who encouraged him to make the call.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was his choice to respond that way. So I'm not sure why she's mad at you. I'm guessing it's because getting mad at him doesn't do any good.
Well, she's mad at him too.
Oh,
she's mad at all of us.
Well, I mean, you know,
she's mad at all of us, and so I don't know if we're doing the right thing or if I really don't know. I'm so lost.
I think that this is one of those times where, you know, you could go to her and say, look, you know, I apologize if you feel that I was if you feel that I overstepped. But I guess one question before I go on here. Did you go to her first to try to address these concerns with her directly?
Well, yes. She called me on the phone, and she sent me these pictures that had nothing in them.
I see.
And was
so she was really
the
kind
awful
of
awful things she saw.
Yeah. Okay. So no, I mean, look, I think you did the right thing. Honestly, you went to her directly, but she was clearly in a place where she wasn't able to respond in a healthy, appropriate way. She wasn't behaving in a sane manner. And when somebody's not able to take care of themselves, we have a responsibility to do what we can to try to take care of them and get them the help that they need. And often that's embarrassing, and, you know, we don't like that. But then we get defensive and we lash out. But I think ultimately at this point, what you need to say to her, look, honey, I'm sorry if you feel that I overstepped. I did go to you first, but you weren't in a position to be able to do anything about it. And so, because I love you and because your husband loves you, we had to step in. And frankly, you know, I would do it again. But tell me, you know, is there something, if I come to you and I say, you know, you need to go, you need to talk to your doctor, you need to talk to your pharmacist, you need to get a look at this, and you're not receptive, and frankly not responding in a sane way, what do you want me to do? Because I'm not going to let you, you know, spin out and have a psychotic episode or end up in the hospital. I need to be able to know how I can intervene here. If you don't want me to do what I did, what could I do? Now, there's a good chance that she'll say nothing, and how dare you, and if so, then you've got your answer there. You did the right thing, and you can just do it again. But if she's actually in a healthy place, then she's going to be able to say, well, Mom, look, you know, it would really mean a lot to me if you would just do this instead, or here are some ways that we could work on this together. Do you see what I'm saying? So if she's able to work with you to come up with a safety plan for the next time, if this happens again, great. But either way, you know, you did the right thing this time, even if she's a little offended by it. Go back to her and apologize if she felt that you overstepped, but let her know, you know, we need to come up with a plan for how to handle these situations in the future, because I'm not going to let you spin out like that.
And we do always have to realize that when somebody is in that situation where they truly can't help themselves, that wounding their pride is far less important than protecting their lives. Yeah.
Thank you so much for the call. Delicate situation, but I do think that you're on the right track. And I hope that these suggestions will enable you to take the next steps toward coming up with a safety plan for the next time, God forbid, something like this would happen. We're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. The show is titled, How Can I Help? How do we make sure that the help that we try to give others is actually, you know, helpful? If you're either trying to figure out how to help someone you care about, or the help that other people are trying to give you isn't really all that helpful, let's talk about how to handle it. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls right after the break.
Hi, this is Lisa Popcheck for More to Life. Only 15% of Catholic kids stay Catholic. What caused them to stay when 85% of their peers leave the church? Join Greg and I as we answer this question in our new free webinar, Against the Odds, the Key to Raising Faithful Catholic Kids. It's happening on Wednesday, February 8th at 7:30 Eastern. Sign up today at CatholicHOM.com/webinar. Again, it's free. That's CatholicHOM.com/webinar.
Remember the song, You Gotta Have Hope? All you really need is hope? Well, it's not all you need, but it is one of the three theological virtues. The Catholic Catechism tells us that hope helps us desire heaven and eternal life as our happiness. We trust in Jesus' promise while relying not just on our own strengths, but with the assistance extended by grace from the Holy Spirit. Hope keeps discouragement at bay and sustains us in times of abandonment. It preserves us from selfishness by leading us to the happiness that flows from charity. Christian hope unfolds from Jesus' preaching of the Beatitudes, which raises our hope to heaven as the new promised land. The Catechism says hope is expressed and nourished in prayer, especially the Our Father, the summary of everything that hope leads us to desire. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria mutual funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria mutual funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled, How Can I Help?, as we talk about ways to make sure the help we're offering others is actually helpful, and what to do if we're on the receiving end of help that isn't. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Damon Owens. He and his wife, Melanie, are the founders of the TOB-based marriage ministry, joyfuleverafter.org. He's here to share some insights from the theology of the body on helping. Hey, Damon, welcome to More to Life.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Greg and Lisa. Always great to be with you guys.
So what can the theology of the body teach us about being actually helpful in ways that are helpful?
Yeah, you know, this is such an important reality of taking the truth, the concepts of love, and what St. John Paul II was really trying to convey and the connection between God and man in this theology of the body. But his thought actually extended earlier that gets more specifically to human love. And he had a book in 1960 that most consider that first foundational piece leading up to the theology of the body some 18 years later. It was called Love and Responsibility. And he's got a beautiful section that really came to mind as I was pondering your topic today. And he really breaks down this human experience of love in the components, almost slowing it down. You know, sometimes love is love of a desire. And it doesn't have to be, you know, marital desire, as we focus on in Joyful Ever After, just the desire of attraction to another person. It could be our children. It could be, you know, our friends and neighbors. So love is desire. Then there's love as attraction. And that attraction to another person, again, could be on all different levels. Doesn't have to be sexual or romantic, but just the fact that we have an emotional connection. But the one I wanted to focus on was love as goodwill. And I think that section in Love and Responsibility really gets to the complexity of willing the good for the other. And what does that look like in real human relationships? And part of it is knowing an objective good, you know, based on our humanity, based on what it means to be made in the image and likeness of God. There are objective goods like love and justice and freedom. And then there's some subjective goods that add on to that, like knowing particularly this person, you know, like your earlier caller, you know about a particular psychological issue, you know something emotional or important, and you want to will that good. And we do sort of a measurement of that goodwill in those unique relationships. But there's also this other part that I think you're getting at about what he calls reciprocity, literally receiving. You call it, you know, the donative, self-donative you use often. And that really is out of our control, if you will, and we desire it, and it is good. But without that reciprocity, that person returning back to us, the seeking of their will, we can feel empty. We can feel,
yes,
you know, broken and lost. And John Paul simply says the feeling there is good. It's an expression of a justice and injustice. But at the same time, us seeking and willing the good of that other really has to be, and the word he uses is, disinterested, that it's so important that they get this good that we don't depend and withhold it because we don't get that reciprocity.
And that, you know, the word disinterested, you know, it sounds like I don't care.
Yeah.
That's not what he means, though. He's
right.
Really talking
right.
About, you know, I'm going to work for the good of this other person, you know, even if they get mad at me, Even if I don't get the feedback I'm looking for, even if they're not, you know, taking care of me back, it's sort of, you know, I'm not going to care about the superficial thing. I'm going to care more about the big picture. What's enabling me to really work for this person's ultimate good.
Well, that's what allows us to step into virtue rather than our own self-interest. So even when we're not getting what we want from the relationship, we have to remind ourselves that we're growing in relationship to Christ, because we're leaning into the bigger picture. We're leaning into the virtues he's asked us to grow in and our relationship with him. Not easy to do, though.
No. I'm so glad you used the word virtue, because, you know, there are those theological virtues, faith, hope, and love, and then there's human virtues, right, where you know that this plant needs 2 cups of water a day, but there's a difference between dropping an ounce an hour and putting, you know, 16 ounces on in 30 seconds. So we have to be prudent in the way that we will the good for the other. And that really where it gets difficult. That's where your work, your counseling, this radio show really helps people to find out, what does that prudence look like in my situation? Even though I'm willing the good, there's virtue involved in how that good is applied based on the unique relationship that is unlike any other.
Damon, thank you so much for being with us. And if folks would like to learn more about the good work you and Melanie are doing, I really encourage our listeners to go to joyfuleverafter.org to find out about the resources you have to help marriages flourish. That's joyfuleverafter.org. Thanks for being with us, Damon.
Always great. Thank you, guys.
And listeners, we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. We're talking about making sure that the help we try to give others is actually helpful. And whether your attempts to help someone have blown up in your face, not made a difference, or just aren't turning out the way you wished, or if you're on the receiving end of help that you're experiencing as less than helpful, and you're looking for ways to respond to that gracefully, let's talk it out together. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I want to welcome you, if you're not familiar, with the wonderful world of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What will America become if it makes it impossible for the Holy Spirit to work here because of untruth and self-indulgence and paganism? This is not just a nice discussion of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to discuss what happens when people make it impossible to be prudent, just, or honest, or brave, or courageous, or reverent. When people make that impossible, what a terrible thing they do not only to themselves, but to our society.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John 14. This is Jesus in the upper room with the disciples before he's going out to his sacrifice of himself for our salvation. And Philip says to the Lord, "Show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied." Jesus looks at Philip and says, "Philip, have I been with you all this time? Don't you understand? When you see me, you're looking at the Father." In fact, only two people throughout human history have given rise to the question, not who is he, but what is he? The two people are Buddha and Jesus. Buddha's answer was, don't come to me, don't look to me, look to my doctrine, look to what I teach. Jesus' answer was, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. Jesus is explicitly claiming to be God.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popchak. Nothing taxes our relationship with our adult kids as much as the expectation that they should obey us. As parents, we remember when our children were little and we could get away with, because I said so. Although we don't recommend that approach at any stage, we guarantee that you will fail to communicate with your adult children if you demand obedience. The Catechism of the Catholic Church notes, obedience towards parents ceases with the emancipation of our children. Certainly, our children owe us their respect,
just as any human being owes respect to others in a relationship. But our adult children aren't obliged to do what we say. Catholic parents are still called to help our adult kids lead godly adult lives, but we're called to do it as mentors and witnesses, not masters and commanders. To learn how you can have a healthy mentoring relationship with your adult kids, check out our book, Having Meaningful and Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, the show is titled, How Can I Help? As we explore ways to make sure that when you try to help others, the help is actually helpful. If you are struggling to know how to support or help someone you care about, because maybe you're not sure what to do, or even if it's your place in the first place, or the help that you've tried to offer hasn't made a difference, or has blown up in your face, or made them angry, or made the original problem even worse. For that matter, if you are on the receiving end of help that is less than helpful, we'd like to help you know how to deal with that as well. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Stephanie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hey, Stephanie. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Sure. I'm on the receiving end of unsolicited advice from my mom. I love her to death, but it's just every day, you know.
Is it always about a different thing, or is she harping on one thing in particular? What advice is she giving you?
On everything. Like, for instance, I'm in my late 40s. I'm a late starter in life. I had my daughter at 40, and my mom wants to still give me. My daughter coughs. Oh, you didn't put a coat on her. Oh, that.
Yeah, that's being a mom, unfortunately.
Well, but I'm reading between the lines here, and when you say that you're a late starter, I guess I'm wondering, how much of that late starting was due to your mom really kind of psychologically incapacitating you?
It's more than just
the kind of typical mom fussing
grandma,
over grandson.
You know, this is moving back into mom role. This has really hobbled you. You're saying,
and and I'm married, and
Does your mom live with you or close by? How frequently is she in your life?
Yeah, she lives within 20 minutes of me. Mm-hmm. And we probably speak, and I love her, but she probably calls me about 3 times a day, and if she doesn't hear from me straight away, it's like panic mode. And I'm like, trust. And she's very spiritual, very, she loves the Lord and everything else. But she just seems like she has to control her little chickies.
Yeah.
And I think I'm the middle child, so I was the one that stayed at home the longest. So I think that's my older brother, my younger sisters, they're the ones that bite back more often.
Well, now they bite back. Have you ever said to her, Mom, I'm a married woman with a child now. I want to work this out. I love you. I want you to enjoy your grandbaby, but I got this. Have you ever said anything like that to her ever?
Yes. And I'll say stuff like, Mom, have faith. You raised us.
And does she get wounded and hurt by that?
And she's like, oh, but you could be doing better.
Okay.
All right. So here's a, what are you asking? Are you asking how to deal with the unsolicited advice? Or are you asking, how to handle the fact that she's calling you so much? Where do you want to go with this?
How can I, sometimes she'll sit, like this morning, my daughter's home sick today because of the crazy weather that we're having and everything. And, the first thing out of her mouth, instead of saying, oh, you know, that's a shame, you know, that she's unwell. You know, it was like, well, you're not looking after her.
Well, okay, so I'm concerned about this, and you might think, and other listeners might think that I'm being a little dramatic, and maybe I am, maybe I'm not. I don't actually think I am, honestly. You might have heard the phrase Munchausen by proxy. Now, Munchausen by proxy is a disorder where a parent makes a child sick, physically sick, so that they can get attention from other people and make themselves feel good because, oh, I'm such a wonderful caregiver of this child that I'm making sick. You know, so that when a parent has Munchausen by proxy, they'll do things like poison their kid or injure their kid in ways that aren't visible, but then they'll, you know, they revel in the attention that they get from being such a good caregiver. I'm not suggesting that your mother has Munchausen by proxy, but metaphorically speaking, she has psychological Munchausen by proxy. She makes herself feel better by making her kids feel incompetent, by psychologically poisoning her children. And that, you know, again, you might think I'm being overly dramatic. I don't happen to think that I am, but take it to prayer. Either way, whether you want to approach this metaphorically or literally, your mom needs some serious boundaries because the care that she's giving is really very poisonous. You know, it's one thing to say, you know, as any parent would, hey, I want to be able to help, or even to fuss a little bit. That's normal, okay? But when you say, hey, mom, I need you to have a little faith because you've raised me, and she says, but yeah, but you could do better. She needs you to feel incompetent around her so that she can feel good about herself. And that's really sick. And so it's okay to set some very firm boundaries, not to argue with her. I mean, because arguing with her is giving her too much power.
You're not asking her for permission for you to be able to be an independent woman, wife, and mother, because she'll never give you that permission.
No,
you're just stating, this is the way it's got
to
be, Mom.
You're going to need to get to the place where when your mom says things like that, you look at her and say, you know what, Mom? I appreciate that you want to help. I wouldn't even give her credit for actually helping. I would say, I appreciate that you want to help. But not only is that unhelpful, it's actually kind of abusive. And if you say it again, you're going to have to leave.
Or I'm leaving, the situation.
And you didn't, she said you didn't necessarily want advice about the call thing, but I'm going to give you some advice about the call thing. You tell her, hey, Mom, I'm happy to hear from you, and I can talk to you at this time. For this long.
You actually set a time.
Because I have a husband and I have a child and I have a life. And I could talk to you for about 15 minutes.
Like a business call.
You know, either every day, once a week, whatever you want, whatever you think is reasonable.
It works
okay?
For you and your child and your husband.
And if you want to text me or leave voicemails or whatever in the meantime, you know, that's fine. But I this is when I can talk to you. And unless you're dying or there's a meteor striking your house or something, I'm not going to be able to respond to those calls before or after that time. That's the time I have to talk with you. It's not that I don't want to talk to you. It's that's the time I've got because I've got a life to live.
And if she wants you to, you know, enumerate exactly what all those things are, no, Mom, I have a life to live. I'm a mother, I'm a wife, I'm a human. This is the time I have to prioritize talking to you. If that doesn't work for you, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I really need you to hear that her advice and her quote-unquote attempts to help, you know, really give me that feeling of psychological Munchausen by proxy. She needs to feel like she is a good mom by poisoning her children psychologically. And that's a really sad thing. And I'm not saying that she's an evil person, but she's a broken person. And she definitely needs serious boundaries set around her if you're going to have any kind of healthy relationship and carve out any kind of room for you to be able to thrive.
Well, and I have to say you're also working for her good here, Stephanie. I want to be really clear on this because the way she is living her life with her children is a form of idolatry. She's asking you to make her an idol. She's not a mother who's saying, I raised my children to be independent people with a relationship on God, with God. The person that they should be most dependent on is God when they're in a struggle. I can be here to be a supportive cast member, but I am no longer the leading lady in their life. She's saying, no, I have to be the all in all, the wise one, the Wizard of Oz. That's idolatry. And so she's actually falling into very sinful behavior. So you're not just protecting yourself. your child, your marriage by setting these boundaries. You're also challenging a very sinful pattern in her life where she is setting herself up as an idol. It's unhealthy for her, so you'll be working for her good.
All right, Stephanie, thank you so much for the call. I'm really glad you reached out. And, you know, when you've been raised in this environment, sometimes it's hard to set these kinds of boundaries, so give it a try. If you find that you're struggling, then reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, and we can walk with you a little bit more on this. Another resource for you, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's a book all about setting boundaries as a Christian. You know, how do we set boundaries in ways that are charitable, that do work for the good of the person we're setting the boundary with, but also insulate us from the drama and unhealthy things that maybe they're trying to do in the relationship? Again, the book is God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. But if you feel like you need a little more personal coaching, then reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up. Thanks so much for the call. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We're continuing to take your calls about those times when you're trying to help other people and it's not going the way you expected. Maybe it's not making any difference at all, or it's blowing up in your face or making the problem worse. Or, like Stephanie, if you're on the receiving end of help that is less than helpful, but you're not sure how to respond to it effectively, gracefully, we're here for that too. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Acts chapter 20, verse 35.
We must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, who said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
You know, and this is what Damon was talking about in his segment when he was talking about St. John Paul's idea of disinterested service. You know, again, disinterested doesn't mean I don't care. It means that I'm not looking for a specific response. I'm committed to working for the ultimate good of another person, and my ultimate good as well, and that's what I'm concerned with. You know, and that clarifies a lot of things, right? Because like with our first caller, whose daughter was having some psychotic symptoms of medication that she was on, and she called her husband, who then called the doctor and the pharmacy, and you know, the daughter was humiliated by that. You know, we have to be disinterested about that, you know, that reaction that she had. Because am I working for this person's ultimate good? Yeah, I really am, because she wasn't in a position to take care of herself. You know, did I want her to be upset with me? Well, no, but I still did. I did the right thing, even though she's upset. You know, but we have to take it to prayer, you know, and ask the Lord, teach me how to respond to this situation in a way that will actually bring out the best in this person and enable me to work for their ultimate good. Because sometimes we can be intrusive. Sometimes we can step on toes, and we do need to be aware of that, too.
And sometimes we have to be cautious of our own self-righteousness. In the case of Stephanie's mother, who is not helping Stephanie in a way that says she is, as the scripture is telling us here, weak. You know, it says we must help the weak.
Stephanie's
not weak. She's strong. She's able to do things. So sometimes
her mother is trying to weaken
we're
her.
We're overstepping.
Yeah.
Sometimes it, because we're not disinterested in a way that says I'm, you know, disinterested that says it's not about me.
Right.
It's not about the reciprocity. It's not about me being aggrandized. That's what disinterested would mean, to be able to say, I will help this person if they're truly weak and need me, even if they're not thrilled with it. But if they're capable and I am overstepping and making an idol of myself, then that's a form of narcissism, and that's not okay. And we have to take that to prayer and ask God to help us heal from that.
All right. Well, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about your efforts to help others that, you know, maybe aren't working out the way you hoped, or the efforts of others to help you that seem less than helpful. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. 573-7825. More to Life will continue right after the break.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for almost 20 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company, and it sent millions of dollars to thousands of pro-life charities. 5G coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. Live chat and a video introduction are available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Church has a very high view of conscience. I think it was St. John Henry Newman who called conscience the aboriginal vicar of Christ. Catechism reads this way on conscience: the interior voice of a human being within whose heart the inner law of God is inscribed. Moral conscience is a judgment of practical reason about the moral quality of a human action. It moves a person at the appropriate moment to do good and to avoid evil. It offers some suggestions, the Ten Commandments, the moral teachings of Jesus in the Gospels, the moral teachings of St. Paul. All of these things are used as a measure of how well we're doing. It is then up to the Catholic to take a look at the teaching of the Church and to see if, in fact, they are in proper communion. The idea that you can dispense with the objective moral teachings of the Church in favor of personalized conscience is lawless and anarchic.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta, 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled, How Can I Help? As we talk about ways to make sure that the help we're trying to give others is, well, you know, actually helpful, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Bill, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Georgia.
Hey, Bill. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Hey, first off, what was the name of that organization for marriage help?
JoyfulEverAfter.org. Yeah, and also, okay. We can give you some other ideas, too. What are you looking for? You're saying you have some issues with your wife, it sounds like.
So, anyway, 5 kids, 20-plus years marriage, and okay. Towards Advent, I just sort of gave up trying to, I guess, have intimate relations with my wife, and I was just having very strong feelings of infidelity, and I just need to give it over. And then since then, it just seems like there are a lot of indicators that my wife might have strong narcissistic tendencies from the beginning, and I'm just wondering.
Before we kind of identify labels here, let's just kind of step back and say, it sounds like you've been upset, you've been frustrated with your marriage for quite a while, yeah?
Yes.
And what have you tried to do to address that?
Well, we've gone to counseling,
What happened there?
Marriage counseling.
Yeah. So when you say you've gone to it, I mean, why didn't it help? What happened?
Honestly, when we go, it just seems as though it becomes one-sided. I guess I just come back saying, well, I've just been screwing up all this time.
The question is, why are you letting that happen, though, Bill? I mean, you obviously have. Yeah. So it sounds to me like you're not great at kind of managing conflict and kind of being really asserting your needs in the situation, right?
And I completely agree with that.
Yeah, and I'm not picking on you for that. I'm just saying I want you to go back to marriage counseling, and I would like you to actually say to the therapist, I don't do a good job advocating for myself. In fact, you might want to do some individual sessions on this, because the marriage can't improve unless you can really advocate for yourself. Honestly, you were talking about having strong feelings of infidelity. That's actually a pattern. I see this all the time, right? I see marriages where The guy, we'll pick on the guy, right? It's not always the guy, but the you know, there's one person in the marriage who's not great at conflict, who's really not great at advocating for themselves or expressing their needs or expressing their feelings, and they're married to another person who's maybe, you know, a little clueless. Sometimes that's benign cluelessness. Sometimes it's a little more malicious cluelessness. But it's this kind of like, well, he's not complaining anything about anything, so everything must be fine. You know, whereas in a healthier relationship, it'd be like, you know, he's not saying much. I need to ask if he's okay. You know, but, you know, so what ends up happening is the person who doesn't advocate for themselves starts getting depressed because they repress a lot of things. And because they're not really good at advocating for themselves, they kind of blame the wife. And, you know, and then it's like, oh, I need to find somebody who's going to make me feel better. Right. So, Bill, I'm not blaming you for this. Like you said, every time you've gone to counseling, it's been kind of one-sided. I'm not blaming you. What I'm saying is you need some skills to advocate better for yourself, and maybe you need to do some individual work before you can improve the marriage, because your wife can't know what you want, and your therapist can't advocate for you if you can't be up there saying, hey, look, I'm really unhappy, and I need these things to change. And you know, I'm not asking you, wife, you know, why they can't change or what's wrong with me that they're not going to change. I'm saying, they need to change one way or the other. We got to figure this out. And yeah, sure, I'm sure I need to do different things, and that's part of this. But this is all going to be on the road toward helping me get my needs met here too.
And if you're getting shut down by your wife just talking and blaming for an entire session, even if the therapist says, "All right, you know, Bill, what's your take on all of this?" and you're just muted by being overwhelmed by everything your wife's just thrown at you, you're not going anywhere with it. Nothing can really change. That's why Greg's saying, hey, take a few sessions where you're developing that relationship with your therapist privately, saying, I'm not good at advocating. When she does X, Y, and Z, this is what happens to me. Help me get the skills to be able to have this conversation so we can save this marriage.
So my suggestion to you would be to reach out to a therapist that you felt most comfortable with, or if you don't have one, then reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. You say, look, you know, I want to work on the marriage, but first I need to learn how to advocate for myself better. And start doing some work on yourself, okay? Then bring your wife in. But the therapist will also know, okay, I need to make sure that I'm really putting Bill on the hook here and saying, hey, Bill, you know, what are you thinking? You know, don't just leave the session thinking that, you know, it's all your fault. What are your thoughts here? And if you do leave a session feeling like, gosh, I'm really screwing up, it's all my fault, send an email to the therapist saying, hey, you know, I'd really like some time next week to kind of really process this, because I just keep leaving the session feeling like it's all me, and I'm never going to get my needs met because I'm just a bad guy. And I promise you that any decent marriage and family therapist is going to...
Somebody who's trained in marriage and family therapy. That's going to be so important here, Bill, because if you're dealing with a therapist who's used to doing just individual therapy and they don't really have the skills in marriage therapy, then you're going to get a one-person session that you happen to be sitting in on. So you want to make sure that they are actually trained.
Because there are a lot of individual therapists out there who say, oh, yeah, I see couples. I do marriage counseling. But they're not trained in it, and they haven't had supervision in it. And their success rate's about 20%. Whereas therapists who are actually trained and supervised in marriage and family therapy have an over 90% success rate. So make sure you're asking when you go for marriage counseling what kind of training and experience and supervision they've had in it. That said, you know, it's really all about starting with you, Bill. And I know that's not what you want to hear, because every time you've gone to therapy, you've heard it's about you. What I'm saying, though, is you have a right to get your needs met. But they can't be met unless you learn how to be a better advocate for those needs and be more comfortable with comfort.
You deserve the skills. You deserve the skills. You deserve the marriage that you long for. What you don't deserve is being quiet, being muted by the situation to the point where you start to get depressed and that you actually think about cheating on your wife as a form of self-medication.
And I'll
That's
be honest with
not
you,
great.
It's easier. Hey, look, and I don't know whether your wife's a narcissist or not, but honestly, you won't either. Unless you learn to stand up for yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Because the first step in evaluating that is if you're good at standing up for yourself, and your wife is still saying I don't care, that's a different thing. If you get better at advocating for yourself, and she's like, why didn't you tell me this before? Or, you know what, it was hard to hear that, and no, I didn't really want to hear it, but I'm glad you told me. That's a different thing altogether. But it all has to start with you being a lot better at standing up for yourself.
It's right, not sir. Going to be as hard as you think if you get in a good clinical relationship with somebody who can help teach you those skills and continue to advocate for you while your wife is in the sessions.
And don't quit, okay? Don't quit the sessions.
Especially if it gets a little uncomfortable.
All right. You know, there's an old joke about a vaudeville act where the person, you know, their act was, I'm going to blow myself up. You know, it's a great act, but they can only do it once.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you do. You know, I told her once and it didn't work, so now I'm going to just disappear. It doesn't work. All right, Bill, step
you
up.
You deserve so much better, Bill.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate the call. Hope that you're encouraged by the things we're saying here to kind of identify those next steps. And if we can support you, we'd love to be able to do that at CatholicCounselors.com. And that goes for you listeners as well. If you are struggling to know how to help someone you care about, or, you know, if you're tired of getting the kind of help that the people in your life are offering and you're not sure how to deal with that, our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, is a great resource to help you learn to set more effective and graceful boundaries. But if you need more personalized support, check out the Pastoral Solutions Institute's Pastoral Telecounseling Practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. Check it out and get out there and celebrate the life God has for you, because with His grace, there really is so much more to life.
Listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.